Hey everybody, you're back with Dave and Ed, and this is To the Death Podcast.
Episode 32 with Damien...
Orande.
So, I would like you to describe how you made this happen. This is a person that you met when you went to the Lucas Lepre Seminar?
Or World's Camp. World's Camp,
so what is it, Alliance World's Camp?
Yeah, so he's the closest, I guess, in the area, actual Alliance that runs a World's Camp. So like Marcelo, I'm sure, has a World's Camp, but he is part of Team Alliance, but he's Marcelo Garcia Academy, right? So Lucas is Alliance Charlotte. So a lot of the top level competitors from around the area, even further west, because when I was there, Roberto Jimenez was there, Giancarlo was there, Bodini, and you know, Damien was there. A lot of high level competitors there. Oh, Tarsus Humphreys was there. That's an old school guy. Ed, have you ever heard that name?
I've heard Tarsus Humphreys.
Yeah.
He's old school. I thought he was a newer school guy.
No, I'm pretty sure he's retired from competition. I think 2019 was his last Worlds.
Yeah, I know that name. So you went down there and you took the Worlds camp. What was that like?
Intense. Very cool. Really good time. I learned a lot and I felt good. Like when I went down there, I felt like I hit the day one first session. I was like, oh, we trained this hard at core. We trained this hard. But then I hit the second session and I was like, okay, but we don't train this hard. And then I hit the third session and I was like, okay, we don't do it this many days in a row like this. So it was just session after session and constant moving, going. It was just a lot of high intensity rounds. It was really good. I'm so glad that I went, and I try and add a lot of that in here. Have you been here for the little mini Shark Tank thing that we do with the numbers?
No.
One day.
Oh, yeah. No, I did do it one
day. Yeah. I got that from down there, and that we did that for an hour.
So you roll with Damien?
I did not roll with Damien, no. So I wanted to because I was watching him roll, and I was like, man, this kid, he moves so fast and fluid. I really wanted to roll with him, but he called me out the same time that Lucas asked me to roll, so I chose Lucas. Sorry.
So it's great that you met him. And did you talk to him at all during this time, though, or no?
Oh, yeah. So I've messaged him before because I always see him in competition, and I always see him reffing. And I'm like, man, you're everywhere reffing. I'm like, how'd you get into reffing? Just, I hope to see you compete again because I liked the way he moved. I wanted to watch him compete more. And, you know, just little things, little reach out here and there and try and maintain that jiu-jitsu social network that I tried to build.
Yeah, this guy had a lot of similarities to Roberto.
I was thinking about that today. Do you think it's something in jiu-jitsu, or is it just the jiu-jitsu people that we're kind of trying to associate with?
Him and Roberto were brought up in, well, their parents are into it.
Right.
I think when you have your parental figure involved in it with you, they understand you on a deeper level because they understand what your passion is. I mean, my mom barely knows what I'm doing in here.
Right, but I thought that you were talking about how their heads are screwed on so well.
No, but I think that's what has to do with it. There is a certain type of person that is drawn to do martial arts in general. If your parent is into it, there's a whole bunch of different things that go into being in jiu-jitsu. The pain, the pressure of it, especially going into competitions and stuff. I mean, they're all into it. They're not just casual jiu-jitsu people.
No, they're not casual at all.
So when you're looking into it on a professional level, think about how we've just been thinking about it deeply. We went and did a private with Yanni today, and simple stuff is blowing our minds and it making us even more excited about how much growth we still have to do.
I'm excited about the growth. I'm not excited about the work. Dude, I'm dying right now.
It's a lot of work.
I am so sore from 1 hour, not even rolling, 1 hour of drilling.
Resistance drilling, though.
Okay, fine. Resistance drilling, which Ed is a huge fan of. How much percentage did you give me?
80%.
80%. I could barely move after that, though. We did 1 hour. I am so sore.
But we were doing a very specific drill, and there was no resting. It was just over and over.
A very specific
type of body movement that was replicated in just different areas.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to go right after work. It'll be fine. Nah, I just ate. It'll be okay. I'm not going to like sweat or anything. 5 minutes in, dripping sweat, sweating through my gi. I'm like, what is going on? I couldn't believe how hard it was. But then I added a bunch of it tonight, and it still equally as hard. But I felt like it came a little bit easier.
But I think, going back to the family thing, you are raising the jiu-jitsu family, only you're the first generation of it. So now I think it is definitely going to help your son and daughter, your relationship with them, and how they will be oriented towards the world with their jiu-jitsu base.
So they'll be Damian and Roberto.
There's a good chance.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't know him super well, but what I know, he seems like a good kid and he's got his head screwed on straight.
He's married with a kid, owns two gyms, and he's 23 years old.
Got his head screwed on straight. That's what I said.
What is he doing talking to us?
He wants to put his name out there. Get out there. People know about him. He's competing this weekend at PANS. By the time you people hear this, it'll be over, but just make sure you know the name. I'm sure he's going to place. I'm sure he's going to do well. Damian Orande.
And we talk about his brother, who's a top 10 brown belt right now.
Top 10 middleweight gi brown belt, Austin.
Right. And we talk about the next move he's going to make. They could listen to that in the episode.
What was it? I don't remember.
What weight class he's going to be in?
Oh my gosh. Kid's an animal. I did not meet him. He wasn't at the World's Camp, but I would like to.
So you want to get into it?
Fine. Oh, you want to talk about the gi now, though?
We'll talk about it after.
All right, stay tuned for a little bit of a gi review at the end of this.
Hope you guys enjoy. This is To the Death Podcast.
Episode 32. We are now recording, all right? So thank you for being on. We're happy to have you. And remember that this is not video, so you can make faces at us and whatever, and it'll be totally fine. It's not going to affect the recording. So,
all right. So just the first question is, how did Dave trick you into doing this?
I harassed him.
A lot. He messaged me like a lot.
That's my superpower. I have no shame.
Yeah. But, he just messaged somebody that we're not going to name yet, but I believe when he answered you.
Of course he answered me. It's me. Look at me. Everybody wants to answer me.
He doesn't even work for a living. He just goes and just texts every famous person he possibly can until somebody answers him. So real quick, we'll just start with just a brief kind of history of your jiu-jitsu experience.
Yeah, so I started jiu-jitsu in 2009. I started training in a small gym in the suburbs of Houston, the Baytown area. Of course, like anybody else, I think I watched a lot of MMA, UFC when I was a kid. And the fight, like I remember it like very vividly, the fight that got me into jiu-jitsu specifically was Frank Mir versus Brock Lesnar when Frank Mir hit that really nice knee bar.
Oh, nice.
I was like, oh, I have to do this stuff. And actually, in my first jiu-jitsu class, I tried to do the knee bar. And of course, got in trouble by all the instructors. And the kids' class is off.
So now, if I remember right, and actually, I think you just had a birthday. Did you just turn 22?
Yeah, just turned 23 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 23. Okay, I thought that you had posted 22. So 23 years old, and you're talking about 2009. Ed, quick the math. You were very young, 11 years old?
Yeah, 11. I was 11 when I started.
I was 25 when I started.
Oh.
Yeah, Dave was doing adult taekwondo back when you're doing right where you are now.
Yeah. Yep. Adult taekwondo is how I started, and it was horrible. So I had a coworker who realized that I hated it, quickly switched me over to jiu-jitsu, and I haven't looked back.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm happy you made the decision to switch.
Yeah, me too. Did you start right with jiu-jitsu, or did you do other martial arts first?
So the gym that I started training at had karate as well. So I did Goju karate and got my black belt there, and I trained like side by side. But then like after I got my black belt, I decided like I wasn't going to do that anymore. I did like one MMA fight right after I got my black belt, but just decided jiu-jitsu is what I like a lot more. Pursued that more at the professional level. Yes, I was around 16 or 17 when I decided to like 100% I was going to be a professional jiu-jitsu athlete.
Great. And now you have two gyms. You're a gym owner yourself, right? Do you own the gym? You guys all own it together?
Yeah, so we're co-owners. So there's three of us that actually own and operate it. Me, my brother, and then my mom as well. And then involved with that is my little sister. She's she just turned 16 last week. And then my stepdad is 100% in with this as well.
And two schools now.
Yeah, two schools now. We just opened the second location about a year and a half ago, and then we've had the first location almost five years.
Do you guys have like a set schedule of who's going to teach at which location on what days so people can kind of follow you around? Yeah.
Yeah, we have a routine, and we just constantly, every week, it's kind of rotating. So like this week, if it's Tuesday, so I'll be in the Lumberton location today. So like I'm Tuesday, Thursday in Lumberton, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday in Fort Nature, and then it switches.
So times are a little bit weird right now. How is it going this year? A little rough, right?
Man, it was crazy. So like this year, man, we started January off really, like the year started awesome. Of course, like lots of new students coming in January, February. I did Europeans back in January. Like I had all my goals set for the year for everything from competition to we had stuff set for the gym. And then of course COVID happened in March. Here in Texas though, it wasn't bad. We only locked down for 9 weeks. I know like a lot of places are still like kind of on lockdown, but we locked down for 9 weeks. We lost like one-third of our student population. But, you know, slowly now it's starting to come back. Stuff's finally, after, you know, 4 months of being open, 5 months, we're almost back to normal with training, teaching, student count, all that good stuff.
So now you, I think that you find yourself in possibly a unique situation where you have more than the school. So not only are you a school owner and a competitor, but you're also a referee. How did you get into becoming a referee?
So, like, I started refereeing. We had a lot of Texas tournaments, like local level tournaments. And I started as a blue belt. I just really enjoyed, like, that aspect of it as well. It helped me a lot when I was a lower belt, like, kind of understanding the rules and all this stuff. Like, I thought as an athlete, you know, to unlock my full potential, I need to understand the rules as well. So, a blue belt, purple belt, I refereed a lot of local events. And then you can get with the IBJJF once you're a brown belt. And my first year as a brown belt, I decided, like, I was just going to focus on competing, traveling a lot, doing that stuff. And then last year in 2019, I decided to jump on the referee team. And it just started, like, I made a connection with Rico Bostas. He's here in Texas as well. I see him all the tournaments. So me and him made that connection and then kind of just went from there. Started refereeing a lot of events. You have to do, like, a rules seminar with them. And then you do this, like, little internship, 2 to 3 events with them. And then you become a, like, full-time referee if they think you're qualified.
So when you started doing this refereeing, was there any surprises, like anything that you didn't expect to happen that happened?
For sure. Like when I started refereeing, I thought it was going to be like very low level, like only doing, like I didn't know how the IBJJF was going to do it, like keep me just on white belts or blue belts or kind of where they were going to go with it. And I think it was like very soon on, you know, I was doing really well. I was already refereeing like brown belts in my internship, but the internship's very easy. Like they have like a microphone in your ear. If you make a mistake, they help you. But I was on some brown and black belt matches there. Then I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that. So that was like immediately started sweating when they walked up. Yeah, they're like masters, but still they're brown and black belts. So I was like, oh man, hopefully I don't make a mistake. So that was like my first tournament. Immediately that happened. And I was like, okay, so I guess this is going to happen now. And then, you know, it was kind of like white and blue and purples for a couple events. And then I just kept putting applications to go to each event. Like the first big event I did, kind of like a major, was Pan Am's No Gi last year. I put in a request, honestly expecting to be denied. I didn't know they were going to, like, you know, allow me to referee that event. They put me on there. And then, I mean, I was reffing, you know, pretty high level, like purple and like adult purple brown belt matches through the whole event. And then by like a couple months later, I was, you know, third referee and some like really high people like Bianca Basilio, like at the Las Vegas Open. And it kind of just, I mean, it keeps getting higher and higher. I did World No Gi. Didn't expect I was going to be able to go to a world event. Put my application there. They accepted for a World No Gi. And then this year I put in an application for the European Championship, and craziest experience in my life, like refereeing every match there felt like a final of the world championship, just because it was such high level matches, even at blue belts. Like the blue belts there were ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw you ref in there, and I pointed out to my son because I was at home watching some of it. I'm like, look, I know that guy.
I was the only non-Brazilian and only non-black belt on the team.
Wow.
There was, I believe, 24, 25 referees, and I was the only non-Brazilian and only brown belt.
Okay, this is interesting to me. So I need to get into this.
Go.
So you do all these applications. You're a ref now. You're at the biggest shows. Walk us through an experience. Like, what is it like to from start to finish of a day of refing?
It's long.
It's a long day, right? So how do they? Yeah. Let's
slow down. Slow it down. Slow down.
So when you get to the thing, like, what is? How do they assign you what you're gonna do? What, do you know all the matches you're gonna do ahead of time?
So they roughly, so like, I'll use the European as an example. So the first day, is obviously all white belts. It's all white and maybe like master blues. So we knew like there was no high level matches going on that day. You get designated a mat, you know, so like I think I was on mat 6 or something like this. You and a partner, and you'll alternate every hour. So I start, you know, say I start at 9:30, 10:30, I get an hour rest. And it's just like every hour you're switching. And as the days go, they progress, you know, you're going to get brown and black belt. And, you know, I was on mat 6, so I can go look at, like, the order of flights, you know, which it didn't matter to me. I didn't care, like, who I was reffing. I was going to apply, you know, 100% to every match that I refereed to do my best for them, whether they're white belts or black belts.
So now there are people that feel, whether it's true or not, there are people that feel that Brazilians, when it comes to a referee's decision, will always side with the Brazilian. So did you ever side with the American?
No, like
that's a stupid question.
I was mostly kidding.
No, I know, and I've seen like what people feel, but I'm gonna be honest. Like since starting with the referee team and kind of understanding what the mindset is, it's completely different than people understand. Like I used to watch and be like, you know, watch Keenan or watch, you know, these really high level American guys and think like, oh, he's getting screwed. Oh, he's getting screwed. But then, you know, they start to apply, you start to go into the rules seminars and the RTP programs and the mindset behind being the referee and what you're looking for in the athletes in the match is what makes the difference. But I know exactly what you guys are talking about. Like, I remember this one match, it was a Spaniard guy who's from Spain against a Brazilian. And the Spaniards were yelling in Spanish, like, oh, you gave him this just because he's Brazilian and blah, 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 blah. And they thought I was Brazilian. And I remember, like, no, I'm not Brazilian. I'm giving him the points because he earned it, or he earned the position. That's why he got the advantage. Like, so, of course, people have that mindset. Like, IBJJF is all about the Brazilian automatically. Even when there's a non-Brazilian referee, they still think you're going to get to the Brazilian. Which, hopefully, you know, I don't know where this career is going to take me, but maybe I can do something to help change like this mentality.
Well, you're doing great because I mean, I see you everywhere. You just did, how many Third Coast grappling events have you refereed now? You and your brother?
So many. I think we did 4 or 5, maybe 6 events with them.
Are you like the main referee for Third Coast grappling at this point?
For a while, especially since like the quarantine time, because it was really hard for them to get other referees, in town and stuff. So, yeah, I'm only like an hour from the guy. He trains at Gracie Baja with Draculino, and they're like an hour and a half from me. So, you know, me and Austin were like basically the easiest refs he could get with a high caliber that kind of knew what they were doing. Now, you know, IBJJF is picking back up. You know, me and Austin aren't going to always be there, be able to make it because, you know, with IBJJF stuff.
Do you find it hard to go from rule set to rule set? Because Third Coast Grappling, they have a very strange rule set compared to IBJJF.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's definitely difficult, especially with a promotion as new as Third Coast. You know, they're still honestly like tweaking some of their rules. There's always like talk. They have like a group chat, and there's always talk about like rule changes or what can they do to progress. They're doing a really good job of trying to, you know, perfect their rule set, but they're just not 100% yet. So there was a lot of like discrepancies referee in that event just because of what they're trying to achieve in their rule set. If it was an IBJJF rule set scoring with them, it would have been like really easy for me because I know the IBJJF is super easy. But when you're trying to innovate a new rule set, there's a lot of
There's like gray areas.
Yeah, gray areas, exactly.
Right, so I want to get back into the discrepancies. So I grew up watching baseball, playing baseball, and the umps, you know, it's the same kind of thing. There's always managers kicking dust on their feet and stuff. Do you ever get worked up at all when these guys are maybe yelling at you or telling you that you're terrible or doing the job wrong, even though you know for a fact you're doing it right?
Yeah, of course. Like, you feel like maybe they're attacking you a little bit or something like this, but you have to just kind of take it with a grain of salt and go on. I know I'm human. You know, I've made mistakes. I know I've made mistakes, but it's just something you have to learn from. If you're somebody, like we always talk about in the rules course as well, if you're, you know, not listening to the coaches, then you're doing a bad job. If you're only listening to the coaches, you're doing a bad job. You have to filter what they're saying versus what's actually happening and your knowledge of the rules, and kind of just filter everything and do your best ability to put the rules on top of the jiu-jitsu that's actually happening.
Do you find that the problem with, like, when you go to ref's decision, it's hard to not be influenced at all by one coach or another coach? How do you go into that, like a ref's decision? What goes into that?
So, like, what I think about, okay, is the intention of each fighter. You know, most of the time, a referee decision, you know, of course you have some really close ones that are going to be very hard to decipher the winner. But then, you know, for me at least, in my experience in the last almost 2 years, is there's normally a clear winner, somebody who's trying to win the fight versus someone who's just like defending and coasting. You know, of course, you know, jiu-jitsu is all about the progression. Whoever's trying to progress forward is doing better. If somebody's defending, okay, then they're kind of the one lacking. They need to pick it up a little bit.
I feel like
so
he's attacking
me. That's what the referee decision for me looks like.
So yeah, he is definitely attacking you, Ed. When Ed and I roll, he either is going to win clearly on points or I'm winning the referee decision. That's how it's going, because he's just trying to stall me out.
Right. Yeah, there's always that clear usually you have one and the other. You know, you can't have two guys just attacking the whole time.
So we're talking about different rule sets and stuff. Me and Dave have talked a lot about of innovating our own, just for fun, casually, making it more fun for the viewer. You know, most of it's just for the to make it fair, which I understand for the grappler, and they're going to play any advantages they can. But we have a couple rules that we'd like to run by that we've thought of. Davey, you want to tell them some of them?
Well, one of them is when you're on your feet, there's no backing up. And a point for pulling guard. We're trying to incentivize takedowns. How do you feel about that?
Right. That'd be interesting. I've seen like stuff kind of like this before. Like there's under this tournament over in the European area. They give two points to the other guy if you pull guard. So they really incentivize the takedowns, and it changes the game a lot.
Sure, you're a guard puller, right?
Yeah, no, I like everything. You know, I'll pull guard, I'll take down. You know, normally I pull guard just to sweep and get on top.
Right, we both pull guard.
I love pulling guard, but I think it does make for more judo in jiu-jitsu. I feel like there's not enough.
Yeah, it causes a lot of action.
Yeah, for sure.
But sometimes you get those like, you know, some guys that'll just stay in there and push each other around like sumo.
Right. Yeah. Some of those are just as boring. Absolutely.
Me and Austin kind of do the same thing with rules, or me and my stepdad, like the three of us are always talking about like different rules and what promotions could do to make it better. And what we always come back to is there's always a hole in every rule set there's going to be. And at the end of the day, it comes down to the fighters not wanting to fight. Like, you know, the fighters wanting to fight, no matter the rule set, it's going to be entertaining. If the athletes are both just playing to win the round, then it becomes boring, no matter the rule set.
Sure.
I mean, it can be submission only. You know, you've seen boring 30, 45, you know, 10-hour matches because the guys don't actually want to fight each other.
So conceptually, do you think it's better to have more ways to score points or less ways to score points? Or is there got to be a balance in the middle?
I think there has to be a balance because in my, this is all, of course, my opinion. You look at events like the ADCC, and it's so hard to score in the ADCC. There's so many little things that happen and that they give opportunity where there's no scoring. It's super difficult to win. Like, you could fight so hard, you know, somebody scores on you, and then to try to get that score back is, you know, extremely difficult. But then you have maybe the opportunity where it's, you know, maybe some events they don't know and they give scores too easy, like advantages too easy. Then you're like, it's both is hard. You just have to have a balance, I think.
One of the things that bothers me about IBJJF rules is there's no 1 point rules. I want more 1 points. I want to get 1 point for something, like maybe escapes or something like that. What are the other rules?
Crucifix.
1 point crucifix. For crucifix.
We feel there should be at least 1 point for getting a crucifix.
Right. It's a very offensive position. I love the crucifix. It's one of my favorite.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked to Brian McLaughlin, and he said that you should get 2 points for front headlock position. What do you think about front headlock or turtle? You get 2 points for turtle if you're on top.
But you can't just throw that out there. You have to give some context to
why. What's
the
context? What's the context?
The context is Brian is a MMA fighter and a coach of MMA fighters such as the Miller brothers. And he thinks of the front headlock or the turtle position in regards to reality or street fighting or an MMA fight where you could do a lot of damage to a downed opponent that way.
Right, in that position. Now, that would be interesting. It'd be definitely a game changer because when people pass, you know, the front headlock's very easy to get, but, you know, it's never a point scoring position. I could definitely see that could be a game changer for everybody.
Yeah, he thinks that it's fight over. It's a fight ending position. You could just start dropping knees if it was reality on the back of somebody's head from that front headlock and game over.
Yeah, that is true. That's very, very true.
How about sub only when you rep those? Is that fun for you at all? Like, you're just saying that either I won or they did it.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
No, it's so easy. Like, I honestly do enjoy repping it just because of the lax part of the job. You know, all you have to do is, you know, pay attention for the guy to tap. Normally, you know, when I referee submission only events, they're up on the stage. So make sure the guy doesn't go off the stage. Personally, I enjoy it just because it's so easy and you can really just enjoy the show and the beauty of jiu-jitsu, you know, athletes going back and forth trying to submit each other.
Have you ever got caught up and then you forget that you're repping the match and then you maybe miss something?
Of course. Like, sometimes you zone out or you'll be so, like, something that happens to me is I'll be watching And I'd be like, wow, that was a really nice, you know, sweep or a big takedown. And you're like, oh, you need to score it. And then you know, of course, the coaches would be in the background yelling for you to score. And then you realize, okay, what just happened? And you have to score it. But that's usually what happens to me sometimes. It's like, wow, that was such a nice takedown or a nice back take. And I'm like, oh, I got to score this position.
I'm sure that happens after your 1,000th white belt match of the day.
Oh, my gosh.
So here's a place that maybe, I don't even know if it was you or your brother or
You guys there? Sorry, I didn't mean to disconnect. Trying to hang up on another call.
That's right.
Ed started yelling at me for that because, of course, it had to be my fault. So my question was going to be about the zoning out or, like, more watching the fight than worried about reffing. I was wondering what happened or did anything like that enter your head during that Third Coast grappling match where it actually, like, turned into a brawl? Were you there for that? I can't remember who was reffing that match.
Yeah, man, that match happened like so fast. So I'll explain like what I saw and what was going on. Did not expect it, one, to turn into like a full brawl the way, because they ended up going like outside the mat, and then it just turned into the crowd fighting, and then Ryan ended up kicking like a lot of people out that night. But I remember, so like, you know, watching the fight, and I saw then what Third Coast likes is they like that ADCC feel of a heavy collar tie event. So, you know, they started to exchange some heavy ties. One of the kids, I believe Dakota was his name, he was actually from an MMA wrestling gym. And he started to throw some heavy hand ties, which were all, you know, all in position to be legal. They weren't on the face, nothing like this. And then Victor threw like a leg sweep, like a foot sweep. And it was clean. It wasn't like a leg kick or anything. And Dakota didn't like it, like at all. And then ended up slapping the other kid in the face. And then that's when stuff started to exchange. You know, I broke them up. We were able to break them apart, get them to each corner. And then I remember the Brazilian kid actually started to calm down the coach. You know, of course, he was going nuts. But we were able to contain them. And then all of a sudden, I passed Dakota off to the director, Ryan. I passed to him over there. And then he got away from Ryan and just went after the Gracie Ball, the whole Gracie Ball team. Like, he just jumped in and started fighting them.
Khabib style?
Yeah. Like, they were still talking smack across the room, and Dakota didn't like it. And then he just took off, like, boom, across the room and dive-bombed into GB territory. After that, me and Austin, like, stepped out. Like, okay, we're done. We tried our best. You know, let everybody else handle it.
Right. That was going to be my question. Do you reach a point where you're just like, all right, this isn't what I signed up for. This is not my job.
Yeah, I was able to contain them outside the match and declare, you know, the match being over. And then after that point, I passed into the promoter. I was like, okay, it's not my problem anymore. You know, we started to step to the side, and that's when Dakota got loose. And then after that, you know, we went towards them and then decided to, like, pull away from it just because – you know, of course, it's a dangerous situation. I won't be a part of it. You know, there's no telling what was going to happen in that scenario.
Do you have a preference to gi or no gi when it comes to repping and or training?
Yeah, for sure. Like, training personally, I love the gi. You know, the gi is my favorite just because, like, there's so much to learn. But I go through phases. Like, this week, actually, I'm doing, like, all no gi. I just finished a really, really good no gi session at lunch. Because the no-gi Pan Ams is this weekend. Refereeing, I really, really like refereeing no-gi. It's so fun, so exciting.
Really?
You really get into the matches. They're exciting to watch.
That's surprising to me. You love no-gi. I mean, you love the gi and you love reffing no-gi.
Because it's constant movement, right?
All right. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, constant movement. It's just exciting. As a person that watch jiu-jitsu, no-gi is more exciting.
So now when you go to no-gi Pans, are you going to be playing both roles, ref and competitor, or are you just competing?
I am.
You're doing both roles. So does that cover, if any of this is like beyond what you want to talk about, does that cover your, what is it? Your tuition? What is it called? Help me.
For what?
Like the registration.
Oh, registration. Yeah, registration. Thank you.
Registration. Yeah, so the IBJJF is actually really, really cool to work for. Some people, you know, they start to talk like stuff about them that's bad, but, you know, what they actually do for the referees, if you're a full-time referee, is they reimburse your registration. So I don't have to pay any registration, and then you get paid like $150 a day to work. So it helps a lot with the travel, you know, to pay for my plane tickets, all this stuff, with what they're actually paying me. And then the registration gets reimbursed.
That's great. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that because, I mean, the refs are kind of the backbone to a good tournament. If you can't trust the refs, you can't trust the tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, when you compete under Alliance Charlotte. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I compete under Alliance Charlotte. I register as Alliance Charlotte, and then most likely, my name's going to be changed to the A-Team, just be Alliance. That'll be the 18 for the event.
Okay.
So all the points go to one spot.
And that's because you're under Lucas Lepre now. You're a Lucas Lepre affiliate. So how did you get hooked up with Lucas?
So I'm really good friends with the Jimenez family, Gabby, Raul, and Roberto Jimenez. You know, we always seen each other at competitions. We ended up training a lot with their family. We lived pretty close by to them, so we would go cross-train a lot with them. And I remember when I was probably, I think I was 16, I was still a blue belt, they brought Lucas in for a seminar. Did the seminar with him, and that's like my first kind of encounter with him. You know, he's an amazing guy, of course. You've met Lucas.
Yeah.
We ended up going and having dinner with him that night, and just, you know, got to build a little bit of a relationship. That was in 2015, 14 or 15, like the end or the beginning of 15. And we ended up opening our gym. We were still under a different professor at that time. We were under Eduardo Ramos. He's the Optus Black Belt.
Okay.
He's in the Houston area. We were under him at the time. And then some stuff like happened with us. We ended up over here in my hometown of Fort Natchez area. He was teaching at another little gym. So we ended up moving over here with him. You know, it happened just to be our hometown, and he got a job offer over here. Some things happened between that guy and Ed. Ed ended up moving back to Houston, but we ended up digging our roots, you know, kind of, you know, it's our hometown. We got to see our family. My mom and stepdad had just started dating at that time. So, you know, they didn't want to separate. He had his business over here. Like I said, it was crazy, dude. Like, so much stuff happened in the year of 2015. So Ed moves back to Houston, and he tells us, look, I know you guys don't want to come back to Houston to follow me. Y'all should open your own gym. He had just promoted us to purple belt, dude. Like, me and my mom to purple. Austin was still a blue at the time. He's like, I really think you guys should open a gym. This area needs more jiu-jitsu because there's not a lot over here. You know, for us as a business, it's beneficial. There's not a lot of jiu-jitsu over here. But he thinks that, he's like, I think y'all need to open a gym, start to spread jiu-jitsu in this area. So in April of 2016, that's when we decided to do that. And then just some things, you know, came up with the gym is we needed like kind of leadership. And he didn't have a lot of experience with. And we felt for our best, for ourselves as the gym, we needed some more guidance. So that's when we reached out to Lepre, and then Lepre was, you know, very welcoming to us. And we've been with him since the end of 2016 is when we joined his team.
That's great. Yeah. I really feel like while I was down there and even just watching on social media, the whole Lucas Lepre alliance or affiliation, you guys all seem to be real close. You seem very connected to each other. And he seems to really be playing a strong leadership role.
Yeah, he's a very, very good leader, man. And like the environment he creates there in Charlotte, we try to replicate here. Like if you come to our gym, you're going to see like a lot of similarities. And that's what we were looking for. We were looking, when we opened the gym, we were looking for a great role model to follow as well. And the professor we had at the time, Ed, he's amazing. He's an amazing black belt. He just kind of liked running the business model in America. You know, he had ran gyms in Brazil, and he actually spent some time in China. So he was still learning himself how to run a gym here in America. And we felt like we needed something to look up towards. And Lepre was definitely who we wanted to be with.
So then from purple belt on, or I guess it's, mm-hmm. You got your brown belt from Lucas, and then you're eventually going to get your black belt from Lucas.
Yes, sir. That's the goal.
Has any discussion been had about that? I mean, I know things are really changed because of the horrible year that it's been, but I imagine that you couldn't have had many years left at brown.
Yeah. I don't know, of course. Like, so he came last year, September of 19, he came, and he said like, you know, basically without saying it, he said like, you guys are more than ready for a black belt, but there was still some competition stuff that needed to happen for me. So that's kind of where we were at. Was like, he wanted to see me compete the Pans, the Worlds, like all this stuff again, just to give me another chance. Because once I'm a black belt, you know, there's no going back from there. You're going to be a black belt for the rest of your life.
Right. No rush. Yeah. I was just curious if anything had been said.
No, I really appreciate what he did. Like, you know, I knew that time when he came in, like, you know, there's this chance, like, oh, I could get my black belt. I don't know what's going to happen. And at that time, I didn't want my black belt. Like, I didn't want it. Honestly, like, now, I don't even care anymore because I know, like, once that time comes, there's no coming back. So I'm just going to enjoy the time I have at Brown, you know, learn as much as I can, compete as much as I can, because once you get your black belt, you start over. You're a white belt again.
Yep.
We're starting to see that up close because we see a lot of people getting promoted around us that we came up with our black belts, and we're going to get it eventually, right?
That's one day. We'll get it one day.
One day.
Yeah.
You guys get promoted from Mario?
So I'll get promoted from Mario, and Ed, he actually, his instructor is a school that's somewhat local to us in, it's maybe an hour away. And that instructor, locally, he's very well respected and very strict. So Ed, kind of lazy. He's a little bit of a fat slob. So it's going to be a while before he gets his black belt.
So we talked about refereeing, and you, but your school is, I mean, your main priority, right? Teaching. Like, how much do you love teaching compared to repping?
Oh, man, I wouldn't change it. Like, I love competing. I love refereeing. Like, those two are great. But I think my all-time focus, you know, in my career is going to be in the gym. Like, you know, building the students up, building, you know, as we always say over here, we're trying to build an empire over here on this side of town where we're at, you know, so that's about 100% focus, you know, and with the family, you know, my whole family is involved. So yeah, it's really cool.
That's great. I mean, that's wonderful. I wish my mom would train.
How about your dad? Ed's dad took his first class not too long ago.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was a great day for me because I've been training 13 years and it took 13 years to get him to come once. And when he did, we had a great day.
Good. My wife trains, like my brother and my sister train. My brother's wife trains as well. My mom and stepdad both train.
How old's your brother?
He is 13 months behind me, so he's about to turn 22.
You guys sound like you're 40-year-old men. You got a business, you got a family already. What's going on here?
Things, so, yeah.
Slow it down a little
crazy.
Bit.
So 18, I was 18. I had 1 month of high school left when we opened the gym.
That's like my dream. I wish I could have did something cool
but
like
now,
that.
Now he's so glad that he doesn't have a gym because he likes having nothing tying him down.
Yeah.
He's like, he says to me all the time, let's just pack up. Let's take this podcast on the road. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere, dude. I got the gym. I'm staying right here. This is where I want
to
be. So I'd love to go to Texas because I'm sick of tire of the cold, but I'm not leaving the gym. Oh, I'll never leave the gym.
Right, yeah.
What's going on? I think Ed's more stuck in his head. Like, you guys are 22, 23 years old, married and everything. You have a few kids too, don't you?
I have one daughter.
One daughter.
Four, yeah.
How's your head on so straight? When I was 23, I was not like you at all. I was a complete fool.
I guess my mom did a good job.
She did a great job. Tell your mom I said she did fantastic.
It could be the South too, Ed, right? The different priorities in the South.
Maybe.
We're too close to the city, maybe. It's ruining us.
The pollution.
Some people down here are still crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. So also while we have you and you were bringing up family and how everybody's a part of everything, congratulations to your brother for making it to the top 10 for brown belts, middleweight.
Thank you.
That's very cool.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. He's going to fight Pans Nogi this weekend. Austin's crazy. You have to do talk with him one day. He's fighting super heavy at the Pans Nogi. I think he's got six or seven guys in the division.
Super heavy?
Super heavy, yeah. He's only 180. But he's done so well. He's fought a bunch of open classes this year. And he's done so well against really big guys in the open class. Like, me and him closed out the Austin Open Nogi, open weight. He tapped all the big guys. Fortunate enough, I got all the little guys on my side of the bracket. So he said, you know, he feels so good, especially Nogi with the bigger guys. He's going to fight super heavy. So
planning on using his speed against them, huh?
That's his game plan. He's long because he's over 6 foot. So.
And his nickname or his username is Gumby Jiu-Jitsu. So is he super flexible?
Gumby, yeah. Yeah, super flexible. His guard's so annoying.
Yeah. There you go. That's just one more thing that the big guys hate.
I hope you tell him that he would never have reached top 10 without you.
Me beating him up every day.
Yeah.
Was it that, Ed, or are you implying that maybe Damian has reffed some of his matches?
Have you?
Some local stuff, man. Years ago when I was a blue belt, I remember, so this actually did happen once. There's a small tournament. I forgot what the name of the tournament was. It was like Matt Shark or something. Super small. And we're waiting for Austin to go on the mat. And the coordinator's like, we ain't got enough referees. Just go referee his match and don't be biased. And I was like, what? I was like, Austin, you lose. If you don't submit the guy, you're going to lose. He ended up going out there and tapping the guy.
That's good, though, because you didn't want any controversy.
I like that. No, I would trust you. Based on talking right now, I would trust you to ref me and Dave's match.
Oh, that's right. So we have somehow, I don't remember how, we came up with a little challenge match for ourselves, and we couldn't find a ref that would ref this unbiased.
No, we did. My teacher would, but
no,
you don't trust him.
It's your teacher.
Whatever.
It's not fair. He's your teacher. So now we have, if we fly you in, you would ref our match, right?
Right. There you go, man.
And seminar?
He does do seminars.
Yeah. I actually did, man, I got to be a part of this I haven't done like a lot of seminars. I've done like, you know, maybe three or four now, but I got to be a part of the, we call it like super seminar over in Israel. And it was amazing, man. We had like 100 people on the mat. It was like six high level brown and black belts. It was an amazing seminar experience.
Yeah. Is that something that you're looking forward to in the future? Like trying to get on the seminar circuit?
Oh yeah, of course. I love teaching, man. Teaching is one of my favorite things to do. Just spreading the knowledge of jiu-jitsu. So I'm always open for seminars. Just getting to travel and meet people that I've never up in the area just to be able to go train with you guys, maybe teach something. I love it.
Absolutely. I'd love to have you.
We need to wait till things get a little more back to normal, but yeah, that'd be
back high priority. Yeah, and not so cold. I don't do the cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We won't see you for at least 6 months then.
Yeah. It's a big update. They said this winter in Jersey is going to be a wet and snowy one.
Did they say that?
Yeah, they did. God. It's not going to be good this year. The last 2 years we got off easy.
I remember I had the bright idea New Year's going into 2019 to bring my wife, now fiance at the time, bring her to New York. And it was like one of the worst decisions ever. It was supposed to be like it was a warm New Year's too. And still so cold for me.
Yeah.
It's cold.
I would have told you not to do that.
We were just talking the other day how I'm done with the cold. I can't take it anymore. And now he just lets this news down on me. Oh, God.
Sorry, buddy. You got a big
truck. Gordon, man. Move. Get out of there.
I got the gym. Not going anywhere.
Wait, where's Gordon moving to? Do we know?
Gordon, he's moving to New Hampshire, right? New Hampshire, Texas, or there was one other I can't remember where.
What's in New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Nothing.
What I said. What's in New Hampshire?
Live free or die.
Do they have like no state taxes? No, that's what he's doing. He wants his money. Sure. I can respect that.
Right, man. Fair enough, man.
And just like we said, we were talking about a little bit in the beginning of the podcast here in New Jersey, we're around the corner from another full shutdown.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I have a question for you guys. Like, did y'all, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but did you guys keep training during the lockdown or did y'all like completely like nothing?
We completely shut down.
For the first 3 months, me and Dave didn't. We could have. We were just trying to, I don't know, test out the waters. But back in June, I started training like in garages and stuff.
It was shortly after that that I started training again. But back then, remember, we're in like what was the epicenter. The deaths or the death rate in this area was really high. We weren't sure what's going on, how serious this really is. There were probably a few people still training, but we did not train for 3 months.
Right. So we were able, you know, my family, my immediate family is 8. So we kept training, you know, we didn't see like a lot of people out. We didn't like see or hang out with people. We just kept like our group kind of quarantined ourselves from everybody else. The only one that was kind of going out was my wife because she's a radiologist tech. So she was going to work. But then other than that, it was just me and my family. We were able to keep training at least, I think, 3 days a week is what we kept, along with like a little bit of weight training and jogging and stuff like this.
You're so lucky. Why do you get so lucky? You got a great family that trains jiu-jitsu with you.
Fortunate.
It's a little bit.
Luck is when preparation meets hard work.
Sure, sure, sure. But if he was alive 20 years ago, none of this would have happened.
No,
but he's taking advantage of everything. God bless you.
Right. I took advantage.
Yeah.
We didn't do any weight training. We each gained a whole ton of weight while we were off.
I gained weight too. I think everybody did that.
Everybody gained weight. And then both of us, we have jobs. We still had to go to work. So who knows what we were going to bring into the room if we were training.
Right. At least you guys said, you know, the job. That helped.
That did help. Yes.
So.
Oh, can you pull up the list? You've got the list,
oh,
Ed.
Oh, my God. You need a list in front of you.
I do need a list in front of me. I had a couple of good topics written down there.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, maybe we did them all. You don't know how to read?
I can read. Well, how about a podcast for you? You ever think about
I think he's pretty busy, Ed.
Nah, you could do more. They can always do more.
Man, yeah, if I had time. Like, I have so many things right now on my plate. I do like doing podcasts. Podcasts is fun.
When you guys are training and rolling down there, are you listening to country music?
No.
Woo, all right, thank God.
What do you mean, thank God? Country music's fine.
No, country music is not fine. It's the only music that shouldn't be classified as
music. If my mom runs training, then we're going to listen to country music.
There we go.
No, that's funny. We don't listen to country music. I like it, but everybody that's in the training is not good for training. People are like, oh, you're putting me to sleep. You're making me want to go drink beer right now. What's going on?
That's great. Sometimes when I want to mess with everybody in the group, like I won't be paying attention to the radio and they'll be like, what are we listening to? And I'm like, oh, you don't like this? And I'll just put on like love songs.
Yeah. Anybody who complains on my music, they're going to hate themselves for a week because I put like awful music.
That's perfect. Just that's exactly what you're there for.
Not to complain about my music.
So I have one more question written down here. And it's actually, if you got to choose a competition that you wanted to ref that you haven't yet, what would that be?
So I think the only thing for me right now that I haven't refereed that I would like to eventually referee would be the World Championship. I've gotten to do Master World, Nogi World, the European. I didn't do the Pans this year, just with all the COVID stuff. And
sure.
I just wanted to kind of relax and focus on training and get my body back in shape before I started refereeing again. But I really would like to referee the World Championship one day.
Well, I think that's going to come if you keep heading down this path. But what about ADCC?
Man, let's see. Let's see where all this takes me. ADCC would be really cool. Just, again, for like the learning aspect of their rule set and their style. Because they have, you know, their rules are very, like the WGF, they have their rules written down and it doesn't change. It's very hard to get their rules changed. So, you know, maybe in the future that would be something that could possibly, you know, occur.
How about combat jiu-jitsu?
Oh, that'd be interesting. Maybe.
Don't
yeah.
put your thumb down.
I think I'm with David on that.
You don't like that one?
I don't know about combat. If I was going to do combat jiu-jitsu, I might as well go referee MMA.
Yeah, right. I don't like combat jiu-jitsu. I don't like watching it. I wouldn't want to ref it.
Jeez, why so much hate on
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's because I just like jiu-jitsu.
It is jiu-jitsu.
I'm not man enough for strikes.
Yeah.
He laughs at
Same
that.
Same thing for me with EBI. I'm not a huge fan of the EBI rule set. I don't like it. I don't like training that style. I guess it's just personal preference, but I don't like EBI or combat jiu-jitsu that much.
So, looking from a referee standpoint, it doesn't even matter a referee standpoint, but your opinion might be different because of your background refereeing. Who do you think's the most exciting grappler right now?
Either Gary Tonin. I really like watching Renato Canuto. He's so exciting to watch. You never have a boring match with him.
Right, yep.
Dante Leon right now, like that kid's on fire. Like any match that Dante's on, I'm watching that match just because he's so exciting. He's so technical. He's just a full package as well. Those are like the most exciting grapplers for me. I think a lot of people have, you know, those guys written down as their most exciting grappler.
Absolutely. I side with Gary Tonin as most exciting. So then if you're a fan of Dante, you must be looking forward to Roberto versus Dante.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, because Roberto is my friend. You know, I've known him since we were kids. And then Dante as well. I like him. It's going to be a firefight.
I cannot wait.
When is that?
December 11th.
December, yeah, 11th.
We're going to watch it together?
What, you want to do another watching
sure.
Who's Number One?
Maybe if you don't fall asleep this time.
Well, yeah, I work. I start work really,
right,
really
right,
early
enough,
in the morning and I
Everybody
fall asleep.
Knows. Shut up.
No, maybe Damien doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't listen. Do you listen?
He doesn't listen. It's all right.
Wait, you don't listen?
Listen to it.
To the podcast?
No, I've never heard of you guys' podcast, honestly.
You didn't listen to the one with Roberto?
Uh-uh.
You guys are not that good of friends.
Talking about.
No, yeah, I guess I need to go listen to it.
We went to see Roberto. When was that, in June?
Roberto was over there?
Yeah, he was visiting with Veta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're not the only person we could trick. We tricked him too.
Yeah, Roberto's super cool, man.
Yeah, no, he's definitely fun to talk to.
He's another one, just like you. Like, he's way ahead of his time. He's like 40 years old behind the ears.
Yeah.
Did you guys sit and have dinner with him yet?
We did. He taught a seminar at my school, and we went out to dinner with him, yeah.
Okay. Dude, that kid can eat so much food. It's ridiculous.
I know.
Like, his jiu-jitsu is amazing. He's really cool to hang out with, but to watch him eat food, it's unreal.
Let me tell you, the thing that I found the most entertaining with him, or like his greatest quality. So my 10-year-old son attended the seminar and he was only 9 at that point. And Roberto talked to my son for an hour and a half at dinner. I just sat there and ate and my son and him talked for an hour and a half.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Roberto is closer to my son's age than he is to mine. So.
Yeah, I think he's only, what, 20?
Yeah, he just turned 20.
Sounds like, yeah, it's crazy.
So.
Roberto's a big kid. He's awesome.
Yeah. Do you have anything else for us? Any questions?
No, man. Hope to see you guys soon. Hope I can get up north.
Yeah, the way we like to wrap this up is just, what do you see going on in jiu-jitsu in the future? You think we have more room to grow, or you think we've hit our peak and COVID has slapped us down?
Oh, yeah, man. Jiu-jitsu has so much room to grow. There's so much things that jiu-jitsu hasn't unlocked yet that we're getting there little by little. Like, I've watched the sport for the last 11 years, and in the last 5 years, jiu-jitsu made a huge jump. And I know in the next 5 years, it's going to jump even more.
I agree with that. I feel like your sentiment, we talked about back in January, we were feeling the same thing. Things were going the best they've ever been, and they felt like the sky was the limit. And I think eventually when things, I think they're going to get back to normal. I don't know if it's going to be this year, next year, or the year after, but once we're back on track, I think we're going to make this into something. They're going to be doing it in high schools.
Hopefully. That would be amazing. You know, the more people that are exposed to it, you know, more lives are going to be changed, and it's all going to be for the better.
I mean, you're the proof. I mean, your whole family does it. And I think it, for sure, I can assume that it brings all you closer together and it just makes the whole family dynamic just great.
For sure it does.
You got anything else, Davey?
No, that's everything. I just want to thank you for your time. Thank you for not blocking me with all of the instant messages.
We were able to make it happen. I feel like we've been trying to make this happen for like over a month, and just the timing wasn't working out.
Yeah, it just got a little screwy. My phone, then your schedule, and yeah, sorry, and thank you.
All good. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, just anywhere where people can find you if you're trying to plug anything.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at @arandebjj, or just find me on Facebook to follow my all my stuff I'd like to do.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
You know what I was thinking about today? He has a good name to be like announced.
Say it.
Damien Orande. Right? It's like your name would be okay. Edward Wilson.
Not.
But David Ross. It's too short. There's not enough vowels in it.
I like Sweaty Eddie Wilson.
That's not bad. Not bad. Yeah, but I feel like Damien has a bunch of vowels, so it like rolls off the tongue well.
Yeah, the O is like a nice
yes.
little...
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's got to get good, though. He's got to start winning these big tournaments.
He's 23. I think he's got a bright future.
And his head with the belt system is where our heads are now. Like, he initially really cared about the belts, it seemed. He didn't say this in so many words, but now he's saying, like, the belt is whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It'll come when it comes.
And it's a start over anyways. Black belts, you're a white belt again. You're starting a new journey. That's what all these black belts have been telling us, and I believe them.
There you go. See, but something that's different for somebody his age and like my age, even you, I will never hit, if I ever get black, I'll never hit the next belt. You and him can. Coral or...
Who even cares? I don't care about that
belt.
But
I'm just saying.
That belt doesn't matter.
That's the last belt. That's it. It's over.
You sad about that?
It's all downhill from
there. Well, we didn't even do it yet. We were excited. There's nothing like getting the belt. The day of the belt, it is a fun day. No? You don't like getting the belt?
You know, I haven't thought enough about it.
Oh, if you need your brown belt. My brown belt day, I remembered. It was a nice day. All my buddies were there.
It was fine.
Actually, mine was a pretty casual. My brown belt was casual. My purple belt, Bebop and Rocksteady were there.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, I was rolling with one of them, and I got it.
We talked about this. My favorite promotion was blue.
Blue was a good one, too.
That was the best one. I got it in the city.
Oh, yeah. But that's fun. Getting belts is fun. So we have one more to look forward to. It's going to be a great day. All your friends are going to be there.
What if nobody's there?
No. Everybody's going to be there. I'll make sure of it.
Why? What? So you just assume Yanni's going to contact everyone and say, hey, everybody, I'm going to give Ed his black belt today. Please come.
Yep.
So then what? Then I got to close this place, drive down there. I got to rent a bus. Everybody's going to want to be there, right? And then you're going to walk in. You would know ahead of time.
Would I?
You're going to have to. You walk in and everyone from Core is in up top. And your wife is there.
Yeah, you guys got to be a little more incognito. She doesn't need to be there. I'll tell Ayani that already.
What?
She doesn't care.
Yeah, but it's important to you. That should make it important to her.
No, she don't have to be there.
I want my wife to be there.
Okay, but your wife has done jiu-jitsu and she's involved in it more than my wife is. My wife doesn't like jiu-jitsu at all. She loves me. That's it.
But maybe your kids want to see it.
Yeah, you're right. They'll probably be 10 or 12 by then.
And just for the people, how old are they now?
4 and 2.
4 and 2. All right, perfect. 6 years. Oh, hang on. Is my math wrong?
Yeah. 8 years.
8 years. Okay. You got 2 stripes on that belt, Ed. It could be sooner than that.
If I keep this pace, yes. But what if I fall off the wagon again?
I don't think it's going to happen as long as we continue with the podcast or continue learning.
Continue. Well, today was a nice learning day.
Today was a really good learning day. But I'm sore. I'm not built for learning like this.
Yeah, but this is something that's going to be added to your game forever, and eventually you'll not even think about it. Just like Yanni didn't even think about, like, Dave's going to be sore after this. He didn't think that.
No, I really think that Yanni was watching me in total disgust.
Nah,
you
keep saying
that. Did your phone just go off?
Yeah, my dad texted me.
Your phone just went off.
Nobody heard it, though.
I didn't put mine on silent. It's going to ring any minute.
Your son. Why does he love you so much?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what I did to deserve that love.
So today we got some gis.
So I've had these gis. I've had 4 gis, 2 for you, 2 for me, here for months. Anyone that's been following along with the podcast, you know that I've had these gis forever. Finally, I just texted Ed. I said, don't bring a gi. These gis have been here long enough. We're going to use the ones that are an alliance gi. That doesn't tell you what manufacturer. You stopped and stared at me. There's only select manufacturers that can make geese for Alliance. All right. So these are the Alliance geese that I got.
So you can whittle it down after we say all the trash we're going to talk.
Sure. But so I was like, we'll use the other one. We'll do the gi review. But this one, I've had enough. I'm using the gi. Let's pull it out. What a piece of garbage.
How much money were these?
It had to be close to $200.
Each?
Yeah.
Oh, my. First of all, the pants and the top do not match. They're not the same color.
They're not the same color.
The pants are super off-white, and the top is a little off-white.
Yeah, I put it next to my Corral, which right now is my favorite gi. The Corral is like, it's almost a year old.
Oh, are they a sponsor?
Bright. No,
why are you mentioning them?
For comparison, anyone that has a Corral will know what I'm talking about. Bright, bright white. These things right out of the bag, brand new, dull gray. And then the top is a little bit brighter than that. What the heck is that?
And the string. They only went halfway with this string.
Hey, it's better than the gis that come with the gi material string.
I hate those.
That's the worst. But how about the cuffs on the sleeve?
They don't make any sense.
I don't think you can compete with this gi. I do not think it's IBJJF legal. But you know who would be able to tell us?
Who?
Damien.
Oh, yeah. He's the ref.
He's the ref. We should ask him. I'm going to send him a picture. Or maybe I'll just send him the make and model or brand or whatever and ask him if it's IBJJF legal.
Doesn't they have to be white or green? Or green. Or blue?
White, blue, or black.
These aren't white. They're gray. But I got to say, we didn't wash them yet. I feel like once they shrink, it's going to be a nice size, though.
Sizing was good. I like the material of the pants. The ripstop, these are actually a very comfortable ripstop.
Yeah, they're a little thicker. I think they're a little more sturdy.
The top was comfortable, roomy, but the cuff I didn't like. The color I didn't like.
If you care about aesthetics, these are not the gi for
you. These are not the gi for
you. And we're not even mentioning it, so don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
You could skip this gi.
Reach out to us and we'll tell you the brand. But it's going to require people reaching out, all right? Although, Ed, we have gotten more feedback on the past episode than we got on any other episode.
Everybody ever. Loved Jess and Tina.
They loved it. And then did you see that Jess posted the video?
Yeah, disgusting.
The video got so many comments, too.
I showed my wife. She's like, oh, my, look at her face.
Crazy. So did we talk about the episode at all?
No.
No. Okay.
We talked to Damien, and it was a very nice conversation. He's a very nice young man, and we look forward to eventually having him for a seminar and to ref our match.
That's right. He is one of the good referees, I guess. If they keep picking him for the majors, he's reffing again at a major this weekend, or by the time you guys hear this, he will have reffed at a major this past weekend, so he must be up there on the list of people that they like. So he's going to come, IBJJF rules, and he's going to ref Ed and I's challenge match.
We got to start cementing these rules down and give it to him ahead of time. Are
we doing our own rules?
Oh, hell yeah.
He liked our rules, too.
He didn't push back on any of them. No. What he did say is there's always holes in a rule system, and I think we do have to balance the amount of rules we have.
That's true. There was a set of rules he did not like at all.
EBI.
Combat Jiu-Jitsu. I mean, agree with him on the combat.
I keep asking people about this. You know, I've never even watched a match. I don't even know what it looks like.
Combat?
Yeah, I'm defending it. I don't even know it, though.
But I do like EBI. But again, just like he said, there's people that play to the rules. So there were people that were stalling out the whole regulation in EBI just trying to get to the overtime and win on the escape. Again, rules. There's always a loophole.
There is. But there is a best. There's got to be a best system. They're not all created equal. Which one's the best? We could prove that, I think.
Which one is the best?
If you had to, I don't know, because I haven't actually watched the Third Coast, which you say is your favorite.
I don't know if I said it's my favorite.
Oh.
I like it, though.
I want to watch. I haven't really watched all of them.
So here's another thing, though. The competitors that Third Coast is getting are people that want to go out, put on a show, and win. They're not trying to just, what is it, eke by or squeak by. They want to win decisively.
I think the newer generation isn't looking at it as, how many medals do I have? They're trying to build a personality because they're seeing what Gordon's doing.
Right, they want to be playing finishers.
Yeah, well, not even only that, but he plays to a character off the mats. So that I think they take that into account. And if you put your heart and soul into it and you go with that fight mentality, they're trying to sell themselves beyond just winning, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, well, now because they're pumping all kinds of products in addition to being a competitor, you can get on BJJ Fanatics, not a sponsor. You could be pumping out your instructionals wherever they are.
I think this is stemming from MMA, because this is what's been happening in MMA, where guys are really going the WWE route. I think jiu-jitsu is slowly...
I don't like too much in that direction.
I get it, but I think that's what it's stemming from. I think it's what the origination is.
Why?
Conor McGregor. They just see how much money they want to make money. Like, you don't you want to make enough money teaching and doing what you love? That's all they're trying to do.
Yeah. Oh, you're telling me that Conor McGregor didn't make enough money already?
No, I'm saying these jiu-jitsu guys like Roberto, like he wants to go and still teach seminars, so he needs to present himself in a unique way. How many black belts are there? There's a lot of good ones, and you can learn from any of them. You have to differentiate yourself now.
I'm going to teach all of Yanni's stuff one day. I'm going to get good at what he
We're going to do it together.
Okay, we're going to do it together. To the Death Podcast Seminar Tour. Eventually. Starting in Texas at Damien's school.
That'd be awesome. He'd be like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, he'd be like, what are you guys going to show? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That doesn't work. And then I'll go, oh, contraire, mon frère.
But have you heard of our sponsor, Core BJJ? You could follow them at CoreBJJNJ on all social media. Also, they got a website, CoreBJJNJ.com.
Also, Ed, we did forget, they're not our only sponsor. And Dr. David asked me to do the next read. He said to me, I can show you a text message from him.
I want
to
see it.
He did not realize that you read at a third grade level.
I read that perfectly. You never even said anything. If I did anything mistakenly, you would have pointed it out.
I don't think you did anything mistakenly. I'm just telling you the text message that he sent me, and I'll show
you.
All right,
no. I don't care what that stupid doctor thinks. I want to hear what you think. Tell me how I did that read.
You read it exactly as it was.
But did
written.
I make it entertaining and fun, and was it presented in
I don't know. Let's try again. How about this? How about this podcast is brought to you by Ground Game Physiotherapy.
Did you memorize this?
And no, Dr. David Zwoboda. This is a guy who decided to take his PT, physical therapy training, and focus on the grappler to keep all of us healthy and training. If you're interested in training with Dr. Dave, reach out to him on Instagram at
DZwoboda. That's it.
At DZwoboda. Also, follow him on Facebook. You can reach him on Facebook at Ground Game Physio.
He's single, ladies, so drop him a DM.
And he insists he's very handsome and wants all of you to know.
Yes, he's got a big ego, thinks he's better than every other doctor that's ever lived. Make him prove it.
I think he's pretty good. I feel better already, although for the past 2 days, I did not do the exercise.
I haven't done it in 10 days.
I'm only two. I meant to do it today. I was just too busy after the private, running around. Excuses.
You're the best at it.
I know.
Idiot.
I didn't hear it, but yes.
You didn't hear it?
It's not on. It recorded, though. Are you okay?
Okay.
Everything's going to be fine.
I hit the idiot button, everybody.
Also, what about the podcast? How can people get a hold of us?
By now, if you don't know how to get a hold of us, I can't help
you. Fine, but somebody did get a hold of us. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Our good friend Gus reached out to us again. Gus, I had many mean things that I wanted to say to you, but I held back.
Gus is loyal. You got to give it to him.
That's fine. I'm glad that we have a couple of loyal fans.
He did offer to help in any way that he could, which is very generous of him. I'm going to take him up on that offer eventually.
That's right, because I need someone to take a little bit of the work off my plate.
Yeah, all the work. We didn't even do these gear reviews. We just wore them and made fun of them.
It's a good thing we didn't do the gear review.
For sure. What good could we say besides they kind of fit?
Nothing. There's nothing good that we could say about the gi that we used today. So, everyone, look forward to the real gi review with the other gi in the future.
But didn't you say Kyle has the other gi?
Kyle has the other gi and he likes it. Dan has the other gi and he likes
it. But there's already a piece of it that I hate.
Which is?
The string.
The string.
It's even worse than this string.
Corral. The corral that I was telling you about a minute ago that I love?
Right.
Gi string.
All right, so as long as you switch it out, though, maybe that's the only...
I have strings in the back.
Yeah, we got to switch that. I want to switch this one out.
Well, that one's not bad. It's better than gi string. Yeah, but this is like a laundry line that they're used in here.
Laundry line.
It's not even... or a shoelace. It's not even anything good.
Yeah, it's a shoelace.
It might be a shoelace.
It's all frayed. Come on.
Hey, listen, I don't know.
We should start our own gi company. Why don't we try out Jocko's gi? I know you reached out to him.
I did reach out to Jocko, but why don't you tell the people how excited you are?
For what?
One of the people I did reach out to. Don't say who it is.
I'm just telling you, like most of the time, you're not doing anything. But then when you do, it just makes up for all the time you didn't do anything. So now you're good. I'm not mad at you for at least a week or two.
Thank you. You're welcome. I don't know what I'm supposed to say there.
Both.
Was that a compliment?
Half.
Or a praise? I don't know.
Like our drilling today. You were doing good, but you are still terrible.
But I'm a 16.
Yeah, 16. This will put you up to a 17 instantly. As soon as you get it, 17.
Does that mean you're going to be an 18 if you get it?
Yes.
All right. So I was thinking about that because you were yelling at me while we were there doing the moves today. You're like, oh, what? No, look, Yanni, look how horrible he is here. And I was like, but I'm a 16.
Yeah, but if you figure it out, it's going to make me so much better because I can't cheat. I cheat so much. You were missing one detail that instantly stopped one of the passes I do all the time, bringing your knee in.
I never did that before.
I know, it's crazy.
It was the most ridiculous thing.
And then we showed Kyle, and he's like, yeah, I know all that stuff already.
We hate you, Kyle. Not really. So glad to have you back.
Yeah. He's playing a dangerous game, but as long as he's rolling
with
the right people.
Listen, when I roll with him, I'm being super careful. I'm not touching his leg. I just want him here. Happy to have him.
What about me? You love me too.
I didn't say that, but I'm glad that you're here. I'm happy to have you.
I wasn't going to come today if we didn't have to record this. My back's been killing me.
Can you please hang? Hang. Or you know what? Go see a chiropractor. Or wait a second. You know what? Our sponsor at Ground Game Physiotherapy, Dr. David Zwoboda, has given you exercises to do to alleviate the pressure in your back.
I need to do them.
When was the last time you did them?
10 days ago.
When you were doing them, did your back feel any better?
I only did them like 3 days. It's not a long enough sample size.
I rolled my eyes. You can't see me, people.
Let me
but
give
I
it a good
eyes.
Shot, all right?
Okay, when are you going to start?
Tomorrow.
Really?
Tomorrow. I'm working tomorrow. I'm going to do the exercises.
I can't argue with that
you
because
can take
you
that
have
one
a great job
to the
that
bank.
You can sit there and do these exercises while you're watching Die Hard.
I mean,
you know it's coming on
it's
soon.
It's awesome. I love Die Hard.
It's a great movie.
It's one of those movies that I can't turn off. Once it's on, I got to watch it till the end.
It's a great movie.
Do you have any movies like that?
That's in my top 50.
Die Hard's in the top 50.
But not Die Hard 2 or 3.
Die Hard 3. It's all right. Not in top 50. You're right. Die Hard 1, top 50.
Die Hard 1, top 50. Absolutely. Best of the best.
You know what I like? Top a 50. Few good men.
A few good men. No. How about
No,
men
we
of
can't
honor?
Just say no. Don't say no.
No.
That's a
no.
top 50 movie for me.
Okay. You're wrong. You have horrible taste in movies. Also, did
you
see
Twilight? You think A Few no. Good Men's worse than Twilight? You gotta
absolutely.
Be kidding me.
Twilight is much better than A Few Good Men. Now, I hope that everyone liked me in my Twilight shirt. Did you see some of the comments we got
no,
on Instagram?
No, give me some of them.
Not appropriate for this podcast.
No, I haven't
no.
looked at any of them.
Yeah, you should definitely read them.
They were calling you names?
Yep. And I don't care. The other thing is our good friend from 10th Planet Bethlehem, Zach Maslany, likes White Fang.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. Yeah.
Yep. And then we had another comment thinking that the Jew's harp is now trending on Google.
I really enjoy that. You got me.
I'm king of useless information.
Yeah, that's a really useless one.
You're
that's
welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have anything to look forward to?
Yeah. We
yeah.
do.
Yeah, okay.
The thing we're not talking about.
Right, but that's not going to be next week.
No, I'm hoping in 2.
Cool.
Amazing. Amazing.
Okay, you got to go to work tomorrow. Daddy's got to go to work tomorrow. Let's shut this down.
Why don't I just quit my job and let you support me?
You'd have to live with me. No
never
family.
Mind.
And
never mind.
No dogs.
Will your wife move out?
No. You can't. You never would never. Leave. She would never let you live with me. I mean, you with what? Me. It? Us. Let's get out of here.
All right, everybody, make sure you check out our website, tothedeathpodcast.com. Email tothedeathpodcast@gmail.com. Check all our social media at tothedeathpodcast. Like, follow, subscribe to all that stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. See you guys next week. This is To the Death Podcast.
Episode 32.